Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Figure It Out podcast. I'm John Gerhardt, the host and founder of FIO Media. So glad to have you on today. Just going to tell you a little bit about FIO Media before we get started. We are a digital marketing and digital consulting company focusing on digital marketing, analytics, and automation. Our mission, we want to empower small and medium-sized businesses with the data and technology they need to grow their business and to change the world. We believe in a little mantra called Figure It Out, and that is obviously the name of this podcast. And what we mean by that is, you know, a lot of times business, you know, life, we have found can be challenging, and there's not necessarily a written instruction manual on how to overcome challenges, on how to start a business. So what we do is we help people with marketing, with analytics, with business automation. We help them figure those things out. We help them build the infrastructure. We help them set that up and really use those tools to grow their company and to achieve their missions. So whatever your mission may be, you want to change the world, we want to help you do it. So that's what FIO Media is all about, and that's as much information as I'll give you because we have an awesome episode today. But if you're interested, you know, please reach out to us. We have our website, FIOMedia.com. All of our contact information is on there. My contact information is on there. Please feel free to reach out. We'd love to hear from you. That being said, today we have an awesome episode for you. I had the pleasure of having one of my good friends, Kurt Barbacci, on the podcast today. Kurt and I played college football together maybe 3 years ago now, because he was a couple years ahead of me, 3 or 4 years ago now. And so I'll tell you a little bit about Kurt. He's 26 years old, living in Morgantown, Pennsylvania, working as an environmental inspector on a pipeline project. Kurt started his career working as a welder's helper in the Pipeliners Union Local 798 in Pennsylvania. He was a member of the class of 2016 at Ursinus College, and there he played football and majored in environmental studies. Kurt's really passionate about personal finance, fishing, and spending time with friends and family. So I'll tell you a little bit more about Kurt. He's not the typical guest that we've had on here today. So, you know, he's not a big entrepreneur. He's not currently running a business. We did talk a lot about a venture that he did pursue a couple months before we recorded this podcast. I believe, or maybe even a couple of years now, but it was a really interesting story, and I actually connected up with Kurt at our homecoming at Ursinus College, where we both went this past weekend. Had a great time catching up with him, and thought, you know what, you got to come on the podcast, you got to tell your story. So, you know, for those business people listening, this is still a business-oriented podcast. I think there's a lot you can get out of listening about Kurt's venture. But we also talk a lot about personal finance and how Kurt was able to achieve some of his personal financial goals in his life so far, in his career so far. So really hope you enjoy this podcast. You know, Kurt is one of the most genuine guys that I know. So it was a pleasure having him on, pleasure talking with him. And this is a great one. So that being said, enjoy it. Take care. You're listening to the Figure It Out podcast, produced by FIO Media. Yo, what's up, brother? How you doing? Thanks for coming on. What's going on?
Great, man. Happy to be here. Just hanging out.
Yeah, awesome. We spent some time together this past weekend, and wanted to bring you on and just, you know, I think we got into some cool discussions, and I thought it'd just be a cool idea to share some of that stuff on the podcast. So maybe some of the other dudes that we're hanging out with can hear it. Some of the people who, you know, listen to this podcast can hear it. So appreciate you coming on and agreeing to do this. I think it's going to be a good one.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I had a great time seeing you, seeing everybody, seeing all the guys, man. It was a blast. Loved it.
Yeah, it's
love to do it again sometime soon.
Yeah, no, we're definitely going to. It's cool to catch up with everyone from Ursinus. We, you know, a little background. We were at this Ursinus homecoming, right, this past weekend. We both went to school. Ursinus is a small liberal arts school. It's an interesting place, right? It's like a very small, tight-knit community.
Yeah, I have a hard time explaining it to other to people, like in my family or other friends, just like I feel like they don't even as much as I talk about it, like they don't understand. But yeah, it's definitely a neat little place. And yeah, tight knit community. It's pretty neat.
Yeah, it's unique. It's really unique. It was weird. Like I remember before we went there, trying to explain it to people was like impossible. And then when we all got there and like we all had been trying to explain it to people for like all this time, it was like, oh, wow. Yeah. You know exactly what I'm talking about. It's been a pain in the ass for the last like month telling people where I go to college.
Yeah. Your sinus, your anus, you know, or how your sinuses. Oh, I got that all the time. It's terrible. Yeah.
It's a cool place. One thing I always tell people is like, I think I got like a pretty cool education beyond just like knowing things, beyond like learning about economics. I learned like how to have a discussion. I learned how to like really put myself in someone else's shoes and why that's important. And I think those are like some of my biggest takeaways from school that like I don't think a lot of other people really got, you know. I'm really happy that I did.
Yeah. Me too as well. Just, yeah, I feel like social skills was like biggest for me, really. Just, you know, just being around people I didn't know that weren't from my hometown and stuff like that, you know, just trying to make connections with people that you didn't really have like something in common with them beforehand or whatever. But obviously playing football and stuff like that, that was definitely a big aid, you know what I mean? It's kind of like being in a frat, so
yeah,
kind of people just already had respect for you even before they really knew who you were and stuff like that. But
right, yeah, it was cool to be a part of the organization like that. It's cool. Mm-hmm. It's, I think, you know, those types of organizations are always helpful, but football is interesting. You still there?
Yeah, I had somebody just call me.
Oh, you're cool. Football is interesting because it's like it's something that like you're with 100 people, like grouped in with like over 100 people, which is like crazy large group. So there's a lot of dynamics going on, but you know, it's pretty crazy how tight you can get with that group on a good football team, because you guys are all like really like struggling together, going through hardships together. And that was like something big for me, like when I first came into college, was like, you know, super nervous, I didn't know anyone, didn't have any background with them, and for me that's a nerve-wracking thing, you know. It's just like kind of how I am.
Yeah, because I'm kind of an introvert in a way, you know. So yeah, I felt the same way.
Totally. Yeah. But then like going through like our football camp freshman year, like 2 days, you know, practicing long hours, like that instantly builds this bond that, you know, now what I know my freshman year was almost five, six years ago now. So like the fact that you and I are still close, the fact that I'm still close with a lot of guys on the team, I think that it's because of like those, and we've been through those struggles like we together, you know, and like overcame them together. That builds a pretty cool.
Oh yeah. And even just like there's a lot of guys that obviously I was like real good friends with while I was there and have a lot of respect for even this day while we were there. And like that I just haven't talked to just because we've kind of gone different ways. But I know like I can reach out to them or just like talk to them and it'd be like you didn't skip a beat, you know what I mean? It's like
Yeah, no, exactly.
Yeah, so yeah, that's definitely pretty neat.
That's a cool thing. Where were you from again? Where was your hometown?
Like Northeast PA. Right. Like you know, I just always say Wilkes-Barre, Scranton. Right. Everybody knows the office. Right. You know what I mean? But really I was from like Harvey's Lake, PA.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I went to Lake Lehman High School and actually Rocco Grande. So I actually lied. I said I didn't know anybody going there, but I did know Rocco Grande because he went to my rival high school.
Okay.
Yeah, and he was like kind of their main captain. I was the captain in my team. And yeah, our high school's had a big rivalry for like 100 years. And yeah. But so I didn't know him, but I didn't talk to Jim at all in high school. Like I knew he was just because of who he was, but you know. But yeah, then he ended up rooming with me and stuff like that. Yeah, Jim lived with me all 4 years, at least for a little while here and there. But
right.
Yeah, that helped out. And I still see – Jim's pretty close to me, so I still see him, you know, at least every couple weeks or whatever. So
yeah, that's pretty crazy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, cool stuff. So I guess I'll kind of switch over to this. So we, you know, we were catching up this weekend. and just talking about what we were up to. And I thought it was, you know, one of the big reasons why I wanted to have you on. You kind of had this pretty interesting story since you graduated. So, you know, you went and got a college degree, right? And a lot of people getting a college degree, you know, they think the purpose of that is so, you know, you're not going to go work with your hands. You're not going to go do anything too physical, right? You're going to go work in an office, right? You're going to, you know, use the skills you've learned to do that, to make money and make a career. You're going to use your education. But you kind of took an alternate route. And actually, I'm going to mention one more thing that also sometimes comes along with getting a college degree is that, you know, you're going to get this big job, you're going to make a ton of money, and now you're going to get to live like this elevated lifestyle. And I think you have a really different perspective on that. And maybe, like, you know, just kind of share that and shed some light on what you did when you graduated.
Yeah, I definitely just, I feel like a lot of students this day and age or whatever, you mean, we're 18, 19, trying to decide what we want to do the rest of our lives. I mean, I really didn't know. I went through a sinus undecided. And I remember thinking sometimes my junior year, I was like, I don't know if I did the right thing or, you know, stuff like that. And even that, you know, I was hoping that I'd get this job, make a bunch of money just because I had a college degree, you know. But yeah, I took on a decent debt load, you know, not terrible. But now, and for me, you know, I've always been kind of money conscious or whatever, just through my parents and just growing up. That was just kind of like a mindset we had, you know. It was always kind of important, but not, you know, not crazy important, but definitely something I thought about like on a daily basis. And one of the reasons I did go to Resignus, because it actually was one of the cheaper options for me. And I was able to play football and stuff like that, you know, and I did love the school when I went on my visit. But yeah, then right out of school, you know, even while I was in college, I had a couple good internships. I was doing like water. So I was an environmental studies major, minor in economics and management. But I just chose environmental just because I was a big hunter. I was always fishing and stuff like that. So I figured I'd at least try to do something I liked with my job. But then I found out once I started applying for jobs, like, you know, they were paying, you know, anywhere from like 30 to 40 grand if I was lucky. And then even some of these jobs that I didn't really even want. But, you know, I had this debt coming that was going to be coming after I graduated. And I was just applying to like so many jobs and a lot of interviews. And even I walked into some interviews and then had the interview and I thought it went so well. And I never got calls back, you know, stuff like that. Even jobs where I thought, like, I could have easily done, you know. People didn't call me back. But, and then, yeah, I actually had I was kind of desperate almost to do anything to make money, like, at that point. I was living back. The one good thing, though, I was fortunate enough to have a good relationship with my father. And he housed me, you know. So, I mean, I drove a $2,000 Corolla. So I was pretty fortunate to keep my bills low. Yeah, under 26, still had the health insurance from dad. Yeah. You know, I just had to pay for my cell phone, you know, car insurance and like gas and just, you know, regular spending. But yeah, and I think what I ended up doing was joining like a labor union, which was, yeah, I mean, some people would have thought like that's like frowned upon or whatever, you know, like I wasn't using my degree. And I think one thing that really helped me out was that I was very persistent on getting to that labor union. Like I called this guy for like multiple, I want to say like 3 months, like every day. And then even it was actually, he was a business agent for the union and for the pipeliners union. And it was actually really funny. The one day I called and he answered. And I just froze. Like, I was like, I want to be like, why are you answering today? Like, you know, he's been calling me for months. You know? But yeah, all of a sudden, then he was like, you got to be in this town in South Central Pennsylvania in 2 days. I called him on a Wednesday, and on a Friday, he was like, you got to be down here on Friday. 7 a.m. you have a drug test and you got to go to this meeting, the safety meeting, and you know, stuff like that. And it was like a big shock for me. It was kind of first time in my life, or not really besides like college, but I was definitely uncomfortable. Like, I was like, oh, like, kind of scared me. Like, oh, I'm just, like, living somewhere else. Like, don't know nobody. I didn't even know how to do the job. You know, I had no, like, skills that were related to the job. Just, it was kind of more of a timing thing, a little bit of luck. But definitely persistence helped me out. You know, I mean, I'm sure a lot of people call that guy, too. You know, but they might have called him for 1 month or 2 months. But I called him every day for, like, 3 months, you know. I think that definitely was a factor that helped me out. But then my other bond was that, you know, I'm big into fly fishing, big trout fisherman, just love it. Like, I still do it to this day, especially at that time that I didn't really have a full-time job. I was fishing all the time, like 5-6 days a week, like going as much as I can, even guiding a little bit, taking people on trips, you know, stuff like that, teaching my father, teaching my brother, or anybody. I just love being on the water. I did it all the time. And I actually applied for this outfitter in Colorado, and I was supposed to go guide for trout on May 20th or something like that. But this guy had sent me on that pipeline job. It was sometime in April of 2017. And then that was like a big decision I had to make, because I really wanted to fly fish, but I also under sinus, like somewhere in the 40s. So I was trying to actually look this up, but it was somewhere over 45 grand I owed her sinus when I graduated. You know, of course you get that 6 months, you know, whatever you call it. I forget the term exactly, but I knew, you know, I had this debt over my head, and I didn't really like that feeling. And I knew, as I would have loved being a guide, and I still think about this day maybe, but I think I made the right decision that, you know, that was something I definitely wanted to do, and I still want to do this day, but I had other priorities, you know, like I said, like, you know, had that debt and hoping to pay for this and that, and guiding for trout at the moment isn't going to pay for too much, you know? Mm-hmm. So I decided to take the union job, and, then when I first got there, yeah, that was a scary experience. Just, yeah, I was around a lot of construction workers, and even it was like frowned upon that, or almost even I got some hate that, you know, I was a college student or a college, you know, grad or whatever, but I'm working with all these uneducated people, and not that they were dumb at all, but for the most part, they were a lot smarter than I was, just in a different way, like more like hands-on and just like general common sense. Like, they were not dumb by any means, you know, they just happen to not go to college, you know. So and at that first job was when I actually started this burrito business you're talking about, and how that had started. Let me think. So basically I lived in an apartment, a 3-bedroom, 1-bath apartment above this bar restaurant. That was pretty close to the job. And yeah, that was another important thing for me. You know, I wanted to live pretty close to the job, stuff like, you know, just reduce my transportation costs, stuff like that. And the rent, I paid like $600 a month, and I had a roommate, and yeah, he was a good guy. And actually a lot of days we would switch. He would drive and I would drive to the job. So that was also another thing that helped me out. And I always was like more of a morning person. And I would get up, make myself breakfast, and I started making, you know, just my own breakfast. And just as like a common courtesy to my roommate, I would just like, if I was making like a bacon, egg, and cheese sandwich or like something like that, some kind of bagel breakfast sandwich, I would give him one. And he'd be like, yo, man, this is like real good. Like, you ought to sell these at the yard. And, you know, we kind of laughed about it, whatever, you know. And, but then also this other story that I heard that kind of inspired me was, so at this job, we basically had a big yard, and there would be, I can't give you an exact number, but probably 100 construction workers there. And some of my friends that were in the union that I ended up making friends with, they were telling me about this woman. So there was one guy on the job, and a lot of these people travel anyway. And I guess this guy's wife was trying to get a boob job. But so what she did was she even made a sign, and it was burritos for boobies. And she made these burritos and then raised enough money to pay for her own boob job.
It's unbelievable.
So, and I heard stories like that, and I heard people complain about, oh, there's no one here selling burritos. And one thing that really benefited me was that the job was like in the middle of nowhere, PA, like South Central PA, kind of west of Chambersburg, south of Altoona. There wasn't many like mini marts. Like you couldn't go to a Sheetz or a Wawa. There was like none of that around. So that was definitely another thing that, you know, aided me. But then, yeah, between that story and my, you know, my roommate, that he was like, oh man, you should sell these is really good. You know, I just started testing it out, like just kind of put myself out there and kind of, but that was weird for me. I never like had to like sell like something like that and like go talk to people and like try to sell them. It was definitely made me uncomfortable. And I certainly felt like a gypsy at first. Like I felt like very weird about doing it. What was really neat about it is that I started picking up momentum. Like I got a lot of support from people. They really enjoyed them. And then like, they were like, I almost had people saying to me, like, you better have enough tomorrow and not run out. You know, I'd run out and people get mad. You know what I mean? Like stuff like that. So like people like started like relying on it. And yeah, I had some good people around me that they were trying to help me in any way they could. And, but then I started realizing I could really do this and kind of monetize it more and really like help this aid again, that debt was over my head. And yes, I was ended up making good money at that job. But then also like I was just always having in mind like ways to increase my income. And then as this burrito thing kind of like took off, and it was almost like a joke at first, you know, but then, yeah, like I said, I just kept picking up momentum, and then I started realizing, so at first, like I was selling, like bagel sandwiches, and I don't know if you know, like bagels are like pretty expensive. So to buy these bagels and like try to make a profit still with all the time it spent me. And then also bagels were like really bulky. And you know, you gotta like, I had to make them at my place and then drive them to the job and then serve them at the job. And they still had to be like presentable, like piece of food, like pretty, you know what I mean? Couldn't be cold or soggy, stuff like that. So then I realized that the bagels were too bulky, too expensive. So then I went to tortillas to start making actual burritos, much cheaper. You know, I could stack them, stuff like that. But, and then, jeez, sorry, I'm blanking out. Where to go here? I'm afraid I'm going to start rambling real bad. I already am, but and then I started like what another thing that helped me out was a lot too is I was getting like constant input from my customers. Like they were always like, and like I said, I worked with a lot of Southern guys. You just couldn't make them hot enough for them cats. Like, you know, I'd be throwing jalapenos in there, getting all kinds of different hot sauce in there. And just like, for me, I was pretty like sensitive to that where I didn't want to eat them, but to them, they loved them. But again, they were always like, can you make them hotter? Can you make them hotter? So, I would do that. And then also when I made them, when I first started, I was making them in my own apartment. Like I bought like bigger pans and stuff like that, so I could start cooking the meat, like larger quantities of meat, larger quantity of eggs at one time. But then I was, for some reason, I don't really know why I did this, but I was afraid to tell my landlord, which my landlord owned the business downstairs and lived right down the road. But I was afraid to tell her because I think, because my electric and stuff was included, then I don't know. I thought maybe she'd think that I was kind of like abusing the oven and like kind of taking advantage of her. But it's funny. And then I, you know, sometimes I would go to the bar and I would eat, and then somehow it got out that I was selling them. And she found out, and what I was a great surprise. She was like super supportive. She was like, "How can I help you? Like, what do you need?" And, you know, and then I started, then that really like ramped up my, that just saved me a lot of time. Because in the morning, you know, I would get up before, I forgot to mention this. I would get up before work, like anywhere from like 3:30 to 4 a.m. And I would start this process. And, you know, I would only make probably at first when I was making them myself in the house, it'd be like a big task for me to finish 20 burritos before I had to leave and go to work. But then once I got her involved and she started helping me out, and then I was actually buying my eggs through her because she had a restaurant and used like U.S. food. So I was getting my eggs really cheap, and I get large quantities really quick. Then I was buying my meat through her, like I used sausage. And then actually I made some burritos. So I made like four variations of burritos. Like I had just your regular egg, cheese, sausage. I had ones that were just all hamburger meat and a lot of jalapenos in there and hot sauce. It's almost like a beef burrito. And then I had even make some, sometimes I would put bacon and sausage in there, stuff like that. But then, and then I also had ones that were just the regular egg, sausage, cheese that were like regular, like no heat to them. And then I had the egg, sausage, cheese that were real hot, and I would wrap all of them in tin foil and I would mark them with a Sharpie. I had like a big fat Sharpie and I had them all certain markings. Like then really that even that only I understood that I had just like a weird scribble design that I knew what it meant, you know? But anyway, then once I got my landlord involved, yeah, I was, like I said, I was buying meat off of her, stuff like that. And then I was able to use her flat top stoves downstairs.
Nice.
So then I was like able to cook, like I cook like 20 pounds of meat, like really quick, you know? And then even I would crack all the eggs and she had this giant blender and I would, I could blend up so many eggs so quick. And then again, cook the eggs on the stove. And then I was buying giant Tupperware containers and storing all this stuff in my fridge. So basically I would cook all the eggs and the meat the night before, or even like maybe a few days before. But I was always very conscious of like definitely like never letting anything go bad or just stuff like that. Like just take care of my hands, you know, I'm just keeping stuff clean. You know, I kind of had like I said, that all these people I was selling are my friends and supportive of me in multiple ways. Like I just do whatever I could to like, you know, try to not make them sick. But man, somebody keeps calling me crazy. But geez, now I lost my train of thought. But anyway, and then also like at some point in this job, like there was multiple people that were selling burritos. And I sold, and no matter what kind of style burrito I made, I sold them for $3 a piece. And then I got a scale and I figured I like calculated like how much my meat cost per pound and eggs and da da da. Like I think I calculated the one day, like each burrito cost me like 60 cents in just like input cost. So, you know, I was making just like $2.40 a burrito, which sounds kind of lame, but you know, at certain points, like, you know, I'd sell like 40 burritos a day, you know, and then I was keeping my expenses super low. You know, I drove that $2,000 Corolla. I didn't really go out to eat much. I didn't drink very much. I just didn't buy a lot of things. I didn't just go out and do like wild stuff. Like a lot of the guys I work with that we were getting paid well, you know, they'd go out and buy all these big diesel, like $60,000 trucks and stuff like that. And I just had no interest in that. And it was funny, I got a lot of heat for driving that Corolla. Like people make fun of me, like, you know, like I said, everybody else is driving these big jacked up diesels and stuff like that. And I got this little red Corolla. So. Mm-hmm. People made fun of me, but I was just really determined to pay. I was, again, like to get off that debt load off my back. Like I just heard, I've heard a lot of stories of people paying it for like 30 years and stuff like that. And that was just something I knew I didn't want to do. And at the time I had, now currently I'm like pretty, I'm really interested in like building wealth. And like, it's always concerned with like my net worth growing. At the time I didn't even really understand those terms, but I still had the same mindset. Like I just knew that I needed to like this much money's coming in and you need to not spend that much. You know, you gotta, you know, just keep your spending below that. And then, you know, use that for whatever purpose. But definitely that student loan debt was like a big motivator for me. As far as like, and then thinking back at it, yeah, I think it's kind of wild. Like, I can't believe I got up all them mornings and did that. Like, I probably did it for like 5 to 6 months or something like that. But, and it, you know, I, Yeah, like again, I lived the money that I profit from those burritos. I lived that paid all my living expenses and more. Actually, it was in excess of my living expenses, and then all my paychecks. And I was fortunate, you know. I had a good paying job for, you know, relative to, you know, most of my peers, and even, you know, even my father. Like, I was making almost as much money as my father was, you know, and I was 23 years old, and. But again, you know, I paid my expenses with the burrito money and more than all my money, all my checks I get paid every Friday. I was just dumping them into my student loans. And it was exciting just seeing that balance just drop, you know, every week and every month. You know, I'd always look at it. I spent a lot of time looking at that. But it was definitely nice to see it drop, and it was motivating just to go to work and everything. Sounds silly to say, but I got better and better at like making the burritos. I think by the end of it, like I said, there was like three or four people selling burritos at one point, and then at the end of it, I was the only person. And I think that was through persistence. Maybe they got sick of it. I don't know. Maybe they were making less money because people were buying mine. I don't know. But definitely, there were some little things that I did that I think were important. Were like. Like I said, I would make the eggs and all the meat and stuff the night before. But then when I would get up in the morning, I would then start putting them all together. Like, I would get the tortilla, and I actually had to watch YouTube videos on how to fold burritos. I never knew how to do that. I never even did that. So I actually watch YouTube videos and practice that a little bit. Yeah, just from doing so many every day, I can do it pretty quick. And I learned, like, I got like an eye for like how much I wanted to definitely like make my burritos like pretty beefy, but I still want to be able to fold them tight. You know, and if you put too much in, there just wasn't enough tortilla to make it stay together. But and then it was really important. I think some of my competitors, whatever you want to call them, they were making their burritos the night before, like they were wrapping them and everything, and then they were getting soggy just from. You know, like, say you just cooked your eggs or your sausage or any kind of meat, you know, there's steam and stuff like that, or, you know, just all that water moisture's coming off them. So you, like, can't wrap them right there. Your tortillas are going to get really soggy. So a lot of times what I would do is after I cook them, the eggs and the sausage, they sat out for at least 20 minutes before I even put a top on them or in the fridge. And then, yeah, I would – certainly make sure that, yeah, they weren't steaming anymore before I put them in the fridge, because then also, again, you had all that moisture that would just stay locked in there. So I would always, yeah, put them together in the morning, and then I would wrap them in tinfoil, label them with my stupid little squiggly or whatever I decided for that week, and which kind of flavor or whatever type this was. And then I put them in the oven. And that also took me a while to figure out too, like how many burritos I could jam in there and how long it took and at what temperature, you know, so I would have to plan all this out for and make it to work on time. Or actually, I was always early because I was selling them, but I kind of needed enough minutes to sell all the burritos I had or sell the majority of them, you know, before work started. Work started at 7, and it was like, that was like clockwork. Like, as soon as 7 struck, like, you had to be doing something beneficial to somebody else besides yourself, like I was doing before 7, you know. So yeah,
so you didn't
and then actually then the only reason I end up stopping on that same job, because we started getting into, it was like December and January, and I think just people were like, didn't want to come out of their truck. Like, I used to always stay in the same place, so I forgot to mention that as well. Like, after I put them in tinfoil, I had this cooler that I would carry around with me. So I kept them in the cooler to keep them warm. Mm-hmm. And I always kind of stood in the same area. I even had one guy that used to sell food as well. He actually, like, asked me to move because I was taking his customers. But I was, like, already selling there, like, way before he was. And I don't even remember what I said to him, but I think I kind of laughed at him. I thought it was kind of silly that he even, like, asked me.
Right.
But, yeah, but it became winter months, and at this point, I had already paid off my loans. So then also my, like, motivation for, like, getting up that time, you know, I kind of lost that, definitely. But I had, yeah, and again, I had people, like, mad at me, like, that I ran out or I wasn't making them anymore. I kind of like let people down, and that definitely sucked. You know, I didn't really feel too good about it. But yeah, by that time my loans were out of the way, and like I said, it was just so cold. You know, some mornings I'd be standing out there and it's dark, and it'd be like zero, and I'm standing out there in my cooler trying to sell burritos. You know? Yeah, that kind of sucked the life out of me a little bit. But and another thing that happened that was really neat. So that was down there near Altoona and Chambersburg, stuff like that. And we all got laid off, whatever, and then a few months later, I'm on a job right by my house in Northeast PA. And I'm walking, you know, I just parked my truck, not selling burritos at this job. I just started. And I'm walking to, like, our meeting. And I have some guy just shout, like, across the parking lot, "Hey, man, you got any burritos?" And he, like, comes up to me. And, yeah, I'm, like, 3.5 hours away from where I just was selling burritos at the previous job. And what I actually felt really bad about is I didn't recognize him. But he apparently had bought a lot of burritos off me and recognized me from that previous site. But, and yeah, another thing that I have to say about it is that besides just making money and stuff, you know what I mean? I feel like it was just kind of good for me. And I always had like a pretty good work ethic. You know, even when I got to that job, I certainly sucked at it. Like, my skills were terrible. Like, it took me a long time to learn, probably longer than most people. I certainly didn't have a lack of effort, you know. Even with that, like I was definitely really busy. Like I would make those burritos in the morning. I'd go to work, and then I'd work out, and then I'd even practice welding, like, after work. And it'd be, like, 9 o'clock at night. And then I'd just go to bed and do it again. You know, I did that for months.
Yeah.
So I was, like, you know, pretty proud of that. But then, you know, I was kind of young and ambitious, you know. Like, it didn't really seem like a big deal to me. But now looking back and even talking about it now, like, I'm pretty proud of that. You know? I mean, I definitely was grinding, you know, in a way.
So over the course of, 5 or 6 months, you made enough money selling burritos to pay off all of your student loans?
No, and I didn't, like, that's not, like, I didn't, like,
well,
that money didn't just paid strictly for my student loans, but like, yeah, instead of paying for like regular living costs and stuff like that, like, I avoided all that, and I was basically like, I had this check coming in from work that I didn't have to pay for anything else with but my loans.
Right.
Or like, you know, a lot of people nowadays, you know, they're like, "Oh yeah, I just got paid Friday, but I gotta pay my rent, I gotta pay my car insurance, my, you know, all these like costs," and then all of a sudden you have this little bit amount left to throw at your student loans.
Right.
But like, I literally had my full check every week for months to pay down my student loans. Right. You know, because I was living all my other like regular costs of life were I was paying for with the burritos. And even I actually had excess money that I was, again, throwing in my loans.
Right.
Now, yeah, I mean, that would have been weird, I guess, if I really kept really track of all of that, but I definitely remember, because the burrito money was cash, you know, obviously people weren't swiping credit cards for me for $3, but, and then my checks were direct deposits. So that was one way I was able to differentiate them, because all my, you know, all the money that I had was just, you know, cash and burritos. So.
Right.
And then really a lot of times I never even saw my paychecks, because I'd get paid on Friday and I'd send it to Great Lakes Student Loans on Friday. You know, like the whole amount. Yeah. Which kind of hurt my feelings, I guess, at times, but you know, but it worked out. And like I said, it definitely was I've had good people around me that helped me out, for sure. Even though I was a welder's helper is what I was. And the guy I was helping, he certainly was very supportive of me. And we didn't get along sometimes at work or whatever, but we were still pretty tight, you know. Even to this day, I still call him and stuff like that. But, you know, he was just definitely supportive of me, like, selling the burritos. He thought it was really neat. I remember the one day he even said to me, like, he's like, "Yeah, you might suck at work, or you might be a bad helper at times, but," he goes, "none of us would be getting up every morning like you and selling those burritos, you know."
So yeah, you didn't know anything really. I mean, you know, I know you said in the beginning, the way you got started was your roommate thought you made a good breakfast sandwich, but other than you know, just having some of that like natural skill to make a breakfast sandwich. You didn't know anything about making or selling burritos or making food or anything. You kind of just learned all that from like trial and error.
Yeah, it definitely was trial and error. I certainly had some failures, you know, like I would make a bunch and then like I didn't know how to sell them or just people didn't know about them and stuff like that. Or like I would just like end up throwing them out and stuff like that, you know. But yeah, like I kind of just word of mouth, you know, like I would sell it to someone, then someone would see them carrying it and they'd be like, oh, where'd you get that? And be like, oh, Kurt's selling, you know, burritos. And then like I said, like it kind of took me some time, but they were damn good, you know what I mean? They were just like good breakfast burritos, like you couldn't complain about them. So and like I said, they're only $3, so
yeah,
I mean, it wasn't too bad. Like, I had a lot of people that just would give me $5 because they just, like, were, like, appreciative of it or whatever. Even I had some welders walk by and just give me money because they were like, man, I appreciate the hustle. That's cool you're doing that, you know. Right. Because, and like, when I said before that, like, other people were selling burritos or some kind of food item. Like, I was the only one that actually worked there. All these other people were, like, wives or girlfriends or something like that, you know what I mean? So they would like get up and do that and then like go home. Right. Like I would like get up and do that and go to work.
What was your work schedule at that time? You were in at 7. What time did you get out of there?
It depended on the day. It really did. It was all over the mat.
Yeah.
Well, but the normal shift's like 10 hours. Yeah, that's like normal.
So you're in at 7 out of there, what, 5?
Yeah.
But up at 3. Up at 3:30, 4.
Yeah.
So that's a 12. It's over a 12-hour day. Where it's like a 13-hour day.
Like you said, then I'd work out, and then I'd practice welding a lot for a few months there, probably 4 months. I was welding a lot after work. I also spent a lot of time fishing. I was in a good area, you know, I could fish a lot after work. There's some great streams out there. So I did that as much as I could. I was always on the go. And again, it's, you know, I was fortunate, you know, I didn't have any kids. I didn't have a girlfriend there. I did have a girlfriend, but she wasn't there with me. So I just had to take care of myself, you know, So which was a good time to spend some time, you know, doing something for me.
Did you sleep at all during that time?
Oh, yeah, I slept. Yeah. I had a nice bed, too, that was super fortunate with that apartment. It was furnished.
Yeah, right.
Which, you know, that's pretty rare. I didn't have a lease. It was furnished, and the bar and restaurant was right downstairs. So, if for some reason, I didn't have food. And I was also very fortunate because then at some point, I had two other roommates while I was making those burritos living in that apartment with me, and they didn't like to cook or really do much of that. So that allowed me also to like kind of take over the stove and take over the fridge because I had that fridge loaded with, you know, the input products there and the sink, you know, there'd be a lot of, and I did my best. I kind of failed at that, but it was really hard. I'd be stressed for time. Like, you know, obviously I'm like making these, I produce a lot of, that was probably my least favorite part of the whole gig is that I produced a lot of dishes and I had to do dishes every day and a lot of, you know, that was definitely the worst part of it. My least favorite thing. Everything else I genuinely enjoyed. It was kind of cool. And it made me a lot of friends, really. Like a lot of people knew who I was or whatever, or I like started our friendship based on, I was a burrito guy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like I said, when I first started, it was like pretty, it was like embarrassing in a way. I really did feel uncomfortable about it.
Yeah. How'd you overcome that? Like feeling embarrassed and going like sell?
So like I said, like just getting some comments from people just saying like, man, I appreciate you doing this. Like this, I got like, and I was really fortunate. I worked around a lot of good guys. Like for sure, even good women too. There's a lot of women on the job, but I just got good support for sure, and that gave me confidence to like I didn't feel like a weirdo or like a gypsy or you know whatever term you want to call it. Yeah, like, you know, I was standing it is funny to think about, like, I was standing there with a cooler, like, handing people these burritos, like, I don't know, just kind of, but yeah, at a certain point, like, whatever, maybe it took a month or even a little longer, but yeah, people loved it, and I enjoyed it, and I enjoyed seeing them guys come up and talk to me in the morning, and buying burritos, you know, and it just started the conversation. You know, stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was definitely overall a good experience. It really was.
Yeah. That's awesome, man. It's a cool story. I think it's something you'll tell that in a job interview one day, and I think it'll be a pretty impressive little memoir there. Yeah. I was pretty taken back when I heard about it. So that's like, I wanted to bring you on and have you share it. I think it was cool. Yeah. You told a good story, and you learned a lot from it. And dude, some of the things you're talking about, like, I'm hearing from some, you know, a lot of people I've talked to in business, I'm hearing you say some of the same things, you know, like just listening to your customers, just like getting that feedback and using that to improve your burritos. You know, it kind of sounds funny when you talk about it in terms of burritos, but people,
it's like a simplified thing, but
yeah. But it's important. I mean, who knows, if you didn't do that, if you were just like, nah, man, you know, I'm making my burritos with sausage and cheese, I'm not adding any spicy stuff.
If you don't like them, get out. No, I never was like that, man. And then even I did a lot of like 2 for $5 deals. Like, I was always kind of like trying to help people out and stuff.
Right. Yeah. And the support too. I mean, that's another big thing that I've had people come on and talk about, is just like how other people, like, and their support has really like helped them. You know, it's definitely been a huge thing for me, is like having the support of people like yourself who just even just read some of the stuff, listen to some of the podcasts, and just kind of like provide a little bit of feedback. You know, that keeps me going along. And then, you know, other people who have, you know, some of my first clients who were just like, you know, they didn't really have to like buy my service. Like, they probably, I don't think I did a great job really selling them. They were just like, you know, this kid, I kind of either feel bad for him, or he's like, I seems like a good kid, and I just want to like help him out. You know, I know my first client, definitely, he just wanted to help me out. And so instead of like, you know, coaching me or something, he was just like, I'm just going to hire you. And like, it's been the greatest thing ever. Like, that was the catalyst that like really got me going, and it's kept me going. And you know, I've learned a lot from working from him, and I've been able to come up with new solutions because of it. And it was a steady paycheck to get me off the ground. And without people like that, man, you know, I couldn't have done anything that I've done. I'm sure you feel, you know, I know you mentioned, you know, that really helped you as well. Like, just getting that positive feedback helped you build confidence and stuff.
Yeah. My customers and the welder, which is the guy I worked with every day, and I kind of operate out of his truck. You know, he would like kind of transport my cooler for me and stuff. You know, between like, yeah, my customers, the welder that I helped, and then my landlord, you know, it was like super, it was huge.
Yeah.
Huge. And even, and I've actually thought about like, for me to do that again, like recreate that. I don't know if I ever could. Like, I was in like a pretty good spot for it. Right. And it just kind of worked out.
Right.
Yeah.
You it's interesting. It's pretty cool though. I am. I think it's super impressive, and just like the dedication to be able to like do that for 6 months, to be able to like wake up at 3:30 and do that. You know, actually, one thing I thought about as you were talking about, like, you know, all that time, like, I would say, like, you know, to most people, saying, yeah, I woke up at 3:30. Was making burritos, was selling up to 40 a day, and then worked a 10-hour shift, and then still had time to like fish and like do stuff. Like, some people would say, like, that's crazy. Like, how did you make that time for yourself?
Yeah, I didn't get tired though. It was nice. Like, so I was 23, and I don't know, I just kind of had a lot of energy and ambition. But and another thing that definitely motivated me too is that my hourly wage that I calculated, like, making the burritos was about the same I made at work.
Wow.
And that was kind of peaceful time for me in the morning. You know, I would put on headphones and be doing all that, like, rapping and stuff. You know, I almost enjoyed it. You know?
Yeah.
So, it was just, yeah, it was, like, adding 2 hours to my work day. You know, just like that. to my paycheck really every day, whatever. So,
hell yeah.
Yeah.
It's awesome stuff. That's awesome. And so now you
Yeah, I've told everyone I've told that, you know, they all kind of say that, you know, that's like really neat, you know. I still get jazzed up about talking about it, you know.
Yeah.
I probably rambled and told my story out of chronological order, but
no, it's cool. I think you told it in a good way. Another thing too, I remember we were talking about on Saturday is like while you were and you mentioned this earlier, like your goal wasn't to be a welder's assistant. I don't know, you know, if that changed while you were there or not, but you wanted to get this job in like, you know, environmental field somehow. And I remember you mentioned like as an assistant, doing some outreach and stuff.
Like as I was a welder's helper, you know, doing whatever, I would see people that have the job that I have now. And I would just ask them, you know, like, who do you work for? And I would just some people did give me cards, but yeah, you know, I was definitely annoying. Like I would try to ask them. I didn't even know who they were. They didn't know me. And they had no reason to really want to help me out or should. And I would just kind of harass them about, you know, seeing if they could try to hire me or get me hired, but you know, that didn't really work out. But I would just get names. So not only them, you know, I got the environmental inspection company's names through them, but then just on my own, I would kind of reach out to whatever people I knew that had that title or just Google. And I sent so many resumes out to various companies and I didn't hear anything back forever. Like from the time I graduated until I had the job I have now, I was still applying for them and I didn't hear anything back. And then it turned out, so when I was on that job and I got that name of that inspection company and I applied online, I didn't know nobody, I didn't have any friends or have any good references, nothing. They hired me like 9 months later, something like that. Mm. Randomly got a phone call and I was on a job. I was 5 minutes from my house on the job, still being a welder's helper and helping a great welder. I was having a blast. It was a good job. I was still going to practice welding a lot. Like I felt like I couldn't get any better. And I kind of almost gave up on using my science degree. I was just, my goal at that point, I was going to weld. Because what I didn't like about the environment, becoming an environmental inspector or doing something with that, even my college degree, like that was like reliant on other people. Like I was like to the mercy of someone hiring me. No matter, even if I tried, where I did want to be a welder. Not only did I love like welding, but that was like more under my control. Like as soon as I learned to weld the pipe and be able to pass the test, I could be a welder. Right. You know what I mean? So like that was all up to me and how much effort I put in and stuff like that. So that I was like dead set, like that's what I was gonna do. I bought a weld machine. I was practicing as much as I could. The only thing, I didn't buy a truck, but that wasn't that important really at the time, but it's kind of a long story. But then all of a sudden I actually got that phone call to get the job I have now, and I almost told no, just because I was like, I just want to go well, you know. You keep that, you know, maybe a year ago I would have done it, but you know, but I ended up saying yeah, and I figured, you know, it's something I wanted to do, and worst case scenario, I would just quit and go back to being welder's helper and pursuing welding, you know. So I kind of took that chance, and then, yeah, again, I was showing up to a new town, never been before. I didn't know anybody, and I'm still here. It's like it's like 19 months later. I'm still in the same spot, and I had a good time. I'm here, learned a lot, learned like a new. Like a new skill or a new trade, you know. So now that what I do like about it is that I'm kind of like bursting, like I could go back and be a welder's helper like tomorrow if I wanted to. Mm-hmm. Or you know, now I have the experience of this job, which I'm an environmental inspector for pipeline projects. So I can kind of do either one based on like where I would be needed or where I wanted to go, stuff like that. There's jobs all over the country for it.
So I mean,
I'm fortunate that like I paid off my college debt. I don't have any vehicle debt. You know, I'm just kind of trying to build wealth right now, and I've been interested in personal finance, and I still have aspirations of early retirement, stuff like that.
And I know you said you kind of get nervous when you've gone to these new jobs and stuff, but it seems like even despite the nerves, you're just willing to dive into something new and uproot and go somewhere new. Like, how do you like kind of, what would you say to someone who like is on the fence about a new opportunity or is maybe stuck? Like, how do you just kind of uproot and make the decision and go and do something like that, take a risk like that?
That reminds me of something my sister told me when I actually said that to her, was that I was like, I don't want to go there, I don't know anyone. And she was like, come on, you should go. It's new faces, new people, new relationships, new experiences. So it's just exciting. Like, you just go try it. You know, like why not? And like, you know, I feel like, yeah, I've had grown in my life and I've been uncomfortable. And you know, I hear that all the time, like podcasts or other stuff. And the older I get, I'm almost an old man now, but you know, the older I get, definitely I'm like seeing that, you know, where if you're backed up against a wall or like have to do something, you don't have a choice but to like adapt and figure it out, you know, that kind of deal. Yeah, I just had this conversation with my twin brother the other day. Actually, he's kind of in a bind trying to find a job and figure out what he wants to do with life and stuff like that. So I said to him, you gotta put yourself out there and try something new, you know, get a valuable skill and make yourself feel uncomfortable, because sitting around, you know, being comfortable all day, just, you're not going to grow at all.
Yeah.
Not a bit.
Yeah.
And keep hoping, but it ain't gonna happen, you know. Yeah,
so is that your driving force now? Is kind of find new stuff, find ways to stay uncomfortable and just continue to grow?
Yeah, it's almost not that I've mastered my job by any means, or I'm not an expert at all. Like, I'm still learning new stuff all the time, but it's at times, yeah, I just feel like it is like boring, and I want to do something different. Like, I want a new challenge, you know. Yeah. And I'm trying to figure that out, and that's a challenge in itself, just figuring out, you know, yeah, what you do want to do and stuff like that. And it's scary again, you know. You're taking a risk, you know, doing that. Like, I'm always worried, like, I always think about opportunity cost, stuff like that, you know. So that definitely has a lot of control in my decisions, for sure. Mm-hmm. And I am in a way afraid to leave my job now because of opportunity costs. Just worried about losing money and, you know, or making the wrong decision, wasting time,
right?
Stuff like that. But I'm kind of am. I think about it all every day. You know, trying to do something different, finding that new challenge or something like that.
Right.
You
know? So how would you go about finding that? Like, I know you knew you wanted to do something in the environmental industry when you were a welder's assistant. So you were going up to those people and seeking out those opportunities. But now, let's say you don't really know what the next thing is. Like, what is your plan as to like go about finding that next thing?
Yeah. Oh man, that's a good question. That's what I'm trying to do. Yeah, trying to figure that out. But I don't know. I feel like one thing that I've definitely done that I feel like has helped me out a lot, like, I've always tried to continue education, like, not just college. Like, I didn't really like college. Like, I didn't really like the structure of that source of education. Where now, like, I like to read a lot of books, listen to podcasts all the time. And watch YouTube videos. Like, I love learning that way. And even applying some of the things I'm learning in my own life. And by doing that, it kind of opens me up to like other opportunities or things that I didn't even know were like something you could do, you know, stuff like that. But, and yeah, I still do have this aspiration to go guide for trout. Like, I think about that all the time, but kind of, I guess my thought of that's almost like my backup plan, I guess you could say, where like obviously that you can't and be very profitable, but like the way that helps me justify like keep chugging through and working all the time. Like for the last 3 years, I've been working like 6 or 7 days a week, which has kind of been. I mean, it's been good. Like I've met a lot of like going to these new jobs stuff. Met a lot of great people. You know, some of my best friends now, and but definitely if my life's passing by, and I'm missing a lot of things like time with family, time with friends, and that's why even going to Ursinus last weekend and seeing all you guys, that was like huge to me. Like that was like incredible. Like I loved it. Probably more than like most people there. You know, like you get, I don't know if that makes sense, but like, I would say like, I appreciate that more. I bet I appreciate that more than like most of the people there, just because that's something I like never do. Or haven't been able to because of work and stuff like that. So for me, that was huge. Even I hung out all day Sunday, man. I went to the weight room. I worked out and I was talking to the previous players. I ran into Mike. Man, dude, I only resized to like 6 on Sunday. Yeah, I was just hanging out all day. I was smiling ear to ear like the whole time.
Soaking it
up. I was having a blast. But yeah, as I get older and I'm kind of realizing that, our time is limited here and, you know, I really need to prioritize like what I want to do, you know, because YOLO, like that douchey like stigma that's involved with that, but for real, you know?
Yeah. But you can now kind of start to think a little bit more creatively because you've set yourself up a little bit.
You know, and that is why I do value their like money in a way. Like I figure now that I'm like just doing what I can to make the most money as possible, that I'm like almost buying my time or buying myself time in the future. That does help me justify like working so much and stuff, or be away from home and stuff like that, you know. But yeah, I battle with that every day, John. I think about that a lot.
Right.
Like, I don't know if I'm doing the right thing or not. Right. Still trying to figure out what I really want to do, but I'm definitely passionate about helping people, and I do like personal finance. I do like educating people about that stuff. I do think it's important, and spending time with friends and stuff like that. Like, I need to like get more of that in my life before too much time passes.
Yeah. Hell yeah, man. This has been a good one. I think a lot can be learned kind of just by kind of sharing experiences like this. And I'm a big believer in lifelong learning too. And I learn not only by listening to podcasts, but also bringing people like yourself on and just kind of like talking through experiences, kind of just, you know, like, I don't know if you've noticed, but you know, you bring up a point. I just want a little bit more, like I just dive a little bit deeper. And I think even that process of just pushing you a little bit, you pushing back on me a little bit, creating that friction, you know, that's another way we kind of just learn. And, you know, it's just cool to do this stuff. You know, I think, you got the right mindset where you're just continually searching for a way to kind of improve yourself, and just find what you want to do. You know, you're putting a big value. You're putting some value on money, but you're also putting some value on some other important things. You know, friends, time, family, and I think you know, you keep that attitude, you're gonna find, you know, what it is eventually. And you know, I don't think any of us have the answer, but you know, all we can do is keep learning and keep searching and keep having these discussions, and you know, maybe we start to move the needle in the right direction over time. You know.
Yeah, man, that's the goal.
Well, cool, man.
Yeah, it's been fun, dude. Appreciate you having me on. This is pretty neat. First time ever doing something like this.
So. Dude, you nailed it for the first time. Definitely. We're gonna check back in with you in a couple months. See where you're at. A little ways down the road, maybe you got another another entrepreneurial story. Maybe you're just going fishing. Who knows? We'll see. We'll check back in and see what's going on. But I like to have people back. I had Brandon back, a couple weeks ago, and he was on like 6 months before that. It was cool. We kind of recapped what has gone on in interim, and that was definitely cool. And it's cool to like then listen back to the old one and see like where our minds were at then, and then listen to the new one and see how we've changed and stuff. So we're definitely going to have you back. But again, appreciate you coming on. Awesome story. And looking forward to just continuing to stay in touch and, seeing where
I'll see you soon, man.
And yeah, I'm going to see you soon. Definitely. Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
But, before you leave, most people that I bring on the podcast are business owners, are people who, like, you know, this is also a form of advertising for themselves. I don't know if you have the same aspirations. If you want, share with people your social media or whatever. If you want them to find you, if you don't want to share it, you know, you don't have to share anything.
Hey, John, you know my Instagram name or not.
You got a pretty impressive, you do a lot of fishing, like, stuff.
Yeah, the little fish channel, you know, but I can't even think of my name at the top of my head.
I'll, if you want, let me know. I'll post it in the description so people can find you if you want.
I could do that, John.
Yeah, you know, you're the first person that I haven't even thought about it, but I always give them, the person, the opportunity. Hey, share whatever you got going on. Share your Instagram, your Facebook.
And, yeah. I don't market nothing. Yeah.
Right.
I got a Facebook and I got an Instagram. That's it.
Yeah. So there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're not really into, I guess your burrito business was all word of mouth. So
yeah. Yeah.
Cool. Cool, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
But all right, I'll let you go. Again, thanks for coming on. I guess if you wanted to just, instead of that, give a little outro, you want to just do that real quick, or?
An outro?
What do you want to leave, you know, if you want to leave the listeners with, you know, one thing, what would you
want? Spend time doing what you like, and, try to enjoy and try to be happy and take, try to find happiness in little things in your life and don't take stuff for granted.
Yeah.
That's something I could say for sure.
Awesome.
I'm trying to take myself back and be more present now in my own life and, you know, trying to do more of that. Just, like I said, time is limited out here.
Excellent. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Awesome, man. Appreciate it. I'll let you go. I know it's getting a little late and got to get up early. So definitely be talking to you soon. Again, thanks for coming on.
All right, brother. I'll see you. Have a good one.
All right, you too.